Second Samuel. Second Samuel chapter 1. I love the book of Samuel, first and second. I love the book of First Kings and Second Kings. Chronicles is another story. Chronicles got some stuff to it, but First and Second Samuel, First and Second Kings. When you're going through First Chronicles, and you get in some heavy stuff there. But in 1 Samuel, or 2 Samuel, chapter 1, David is coming back. He comes back from the fight with the Amalekites and slaughters them. And y'all remember that David and his men went to help the Philistines, and they rode up, and take your Bible, look back at 1 Samuel, and look at look in 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. And we're going to just look at a little bit of the life of David a little bit. But also not only the life of David, but the life of Jonathan. I wanted to say this tonight. You know, nobody's here. Nobody's here on your own. Somebody's helped you. Somebody took the time to help you. And David wouldn't have never got to the place he was at if it wasn't for Jonathan. And Jonathan was a great asset in David's life. And it says, but look at chapter 30, verse 1. It says, it came to pass when David and his men were come from Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south. If you read 29, David and his men went out to help Achish. And Achish, the Philistines, they were going to go against Saul. They were getting ready to go fight their own people. They were getting ready to go up against Saul. And David had 600 men with him. And David goes out, and then the Philistines said, why is this guy here? Why is this Jew here? Why is this Hebrew here? And Achish, he defends David. I often wonder, what would have happened if they would have went to battle and they were in the battle, and David, because David was living in their land, in the Philistines' land, what would have happened if David would have went into battle? David would have never got the kingdom. He never would have. And what God did, God protected him from going to battle with the Hebrews, because with the Philistines going out to battle. But in chapter 29, but look at chapter 30. But David's coming back, and you're talking about a low point in your life, brother. Now, David has some low points in his life. And everybody, I think this, the longer you live, you're going to have some points in your life. You're going to have some low points in your life. You're going to come to the place that's going to have, you're going to have some trouble. And when you're going through the trouble, you can learn from David's life that David, every time he was going through some trouble, he looked to God, and he cried out to God for help. And what he did, he comes back, and they have 600 men with him, and they come back to their town where that Achish gave them to live, was Ziklag. And they come back, and all of a sudden, they look around, everything's gone. Everything's gone. And the Bible says, and it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekites had invaded the south in Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And it says, had taken the women captive and that were with therein, and they slew not any, neither great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. You talking about that had to be a low point in his life. And the Bible says it was burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, their daughters, and were taken captive. And David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and what? They wept. You're going to have some times in your life it's going to bring a lot of tears. It's going to bring tears. And we've seen some of them times. In this church, we've seen some times like that. We've shed a lot of tears. In my own life, after I got saved, I told you before I was saved, everything that happened after I was saved happened before I was saved. But things, the outcome, everything was different. And David and his men, these were 600 mighty men And you know, I was taught when I was a kid, some of y'all were taught the same thing. If you cried when you was a baby, you know, or a child, a young man, then you weren't a man. And it made us get hard, made you harden yourself. And I remember I had Brother Peacock up here one time, and I went to witness to Jack's father-in-law. And I took Brother Peacock. He retired. That's what he did. He was Jacksonville, captain of Jacksonville Police Force. And Mr. McGinty was the chief of police here in Smyrna. And Jack and Cheryl had just been married. And I think Jack and Cheryl was here at the church. They were a young married couple. We had Brother Peacock come in. And so I told Brother Peacock, I said, let's go with me go see the chief. I said, maybe you can relate to him. Maybe you can. So we go up there. And we witnessed the chief. When I went in, I said, is the chief here? They said, yeah, he's in his office. May I ask, he's calling for him. I said, tell him Pastor Ryan. So he says, he opened the door. He says, oh, come on in. And we walk into the office there, and we're sitting down. And I wanted Brother Peacock to witness to him. So I said, chief, I said, this is Brother Peacock. He was captain of the police force and everything. And he got talking a little bit about police and policing and all that stuff. And then Brother Peacock tried to witness to him, and he disagreed with him, but he wouldn't get saved. And so we got outside. We got outside to the walking out after we prayed with him and all that. But, you know, Cheryl's dad got saved. Now, her mama got saved. And thank God it took years, but Jack prayed and Cheryl prayed and everybody prayed. But we got outside, and Brother Peacock started beating on the side of the building like this. He started going like that. He said, that's what you're dealing with right there. That's what you're dealing with. And I looked. I said, what are you talking about? He said, hard as a brick. And what happens is, as you grow up, you know, there's nothing wrong with shedding tears. You can keep a tender heart. That's why I've always prayed for the kids. God, give them a tender heart. Put the fear of God in them. Amen. Give them a tender heart. Because if not, they'll harden themselves and be like a brick, man. You can't get through. That's where a lot of homeless people are, like bricks. And then finally, they get so low and they get broken. And then they finally, start trying to yield. But here, the Bible says David wept. These mighty men. I can see these men. The Bible says in Chronicles, these men were like lions. I mean, they were lion face, and they were mighty men. When I read about that, man, I'm reading about how these guys jumped in the pit in the middle of winter and took on a lion by himself. He's like, hey, guys, check this out, and jumps down with a 500-pound lion and takes him on and kills it. They were showing off. They were saying, look, watch what I can do. But they were mighty men. They were big men. I mean, I'm talking about strong men. They might not look like much, but I'm going to tell you what, you didn't want to mess with them. You read, take your Bible, look over here, and look in Chronicles. Look over here in Chronicles. And look what the Bible says about them. And it just, every time I read it, it fires me up. Every time I read about these men. And if people talk, you know, people think because you can cuss somebody out, or you can do something like that, that you're a tough guy. And that ain't tough, man. I tell people a real tough man, a man that's tough, will stand for God and do what's right no matter what comes down the pipe. No matter who's there to throw any wrenches at him or anything like that. I said 2 Chronicles. Somebody find that for me. 1 Chronicles. All right, 1 Chronicles. What is it? 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles what? 11. All right, go to 1 Chronicles 11. Look at this. 1 Chronicles 11. And it says, and all Israel gathered themselves to David at Hebron. And look on down, it says, in verse 2, moreover, the time passed, even when Saul was king, thou was he that led us and brought out Israel. And the Lord thy God was said unto thee, thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be ruler over my people Israel. And therefore come all the elders of Israel to Hebron. Hebron was a city of refuge. And then it says in verse 4, and David and all Israel went out to Jerusalem. Well, that's 22. Okay, here we go. Let's go to 22. And Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man, Kabzeel, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. Also, he went down and slew a lion in a pit in a snowy day. Nothing. He was just bored, nothing else to do. He just said, I was going to kill me a lion in a snowy day. And he slew an Egyptian, a man of great stature, 5 cubits high, and an Egyptian in the Egyptian's hand was a spear like unto a weaver's beam. He was similar to a Goliath. And he went down to him with a staff and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. And these things did Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and had the name among the three mightiest. And behold, he was honorable among the 30, but attained not to the first three. And David set him over the guard. And go back up to the first three, and look what the Bible says in verse 16. And David was in a hole. This is what when he's running from Saul. And it says the Philistines was at Bethlehem. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me of the water of well of Bethlehem that is in the gate. And the three break through the host of the Philistines. Bible says, talking about where two or three gather together in his name. There he's in the midst. And these three guys break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well for the fun of it. David said, I'd like to have a drink of water. And they said, hey, guys, let's do this. Let's go down there. And let's just get him a drink of water. That'll put a smile on his face. You ever thought about doing something that put a smile on the Lord's face? And it says, drew the water out of the well of Bethlehem, but that by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. And David would not drink of it, but poured it out unto the Lord. And said, my God forbid it me that I should do this thing. Shall I drink the blood of these men that have put their lives in jeopardy? And then it goes on down and says, therefore he would not drink of it. Verse 20, and Abishai, the brother of Joab, he was the chief of the three for lifting up his spear against 300. He slew them and had a name among the three. Abishai, he definitely, that guy you don't want to fool with. 300 men. You get 300 people in here. He took on 300 warriors, and he slew them all. And the Bible says, and of the, verse 21, and of the three, he was more honorable than the two, for he was their captain, howbeit he attained not to the first three. Look on down. Then it goes and tells you all the different men that David had as mighty men. It says he talked about these men that was in the army. Let's go back to 1 Samuel. Go back to 1 Samuel. So David had all these 600 men and all these mighty men. And they're riding with him, and they come back to Ziklag, and they see everything they have and they own burned to the ground, and their family's gone. You know what? What we would do, we say, well, I wasn't in it for this. And they even talked about killing David. And because David's the one that led them, they wept till they couldn't weep no more, no power to weep no more. I'll tell you what, that's something. And David's two wives was taken captive. And look down at verse 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his son and for his daughter. And David, look what it says. If you're going to make it, I'm telling you what. If you're going to make it in this Christian life, if you're going to make it, you're going to have to learn how to encourage yourself. And the way you get encouraged is by singing and reading this book and talking to God out loud.
That's right.
Saying, Lord, I need your help. God, help me. If you're going to make it in this Christian life, you're going to have to learn how to get a hold of God. And that's, sometimes it's going to be by yourself. You ain't, nobody else is going to be able to encourage you but God himself. Most Christians, their Christianity relies on everybody else. But God wants you to rely on him and him alone.
Amen.
And you're going to have to learn to trust him and him alone.
Amen.
Thank God for brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank God we can get together and stir each other up. And I mean, it's like coals of fire getting together and putting them all together. Man, thank God for that. But I'm going to tell you something. If you don't learn how to do it on your own, you ain't going to make it.
Amen.
If you don't have a relationship with God on your own, David had a relationship with God. He knew how to talk to God. He sang to God. That's why I told Eric, when you go out on the street, start singing.
Amen.
It'll give you strength. I don't know why. It's something about singing, man. You start singing about the Lord. You ride down the road when you're discouraged, and you start singing. If something comes in the room with you or something comes in the vehicle with you, and you'll start getting encouraged and strengthened, and you'll say, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
David sang the Psalms. You read the book of Psalms of David singing. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. Man, he started singing about God. And I'm going to tell you something. He was a young man, and he sang about God. And I'm going to tell you, if you young people going to make it, you better learn how to get a hold of God.
Amen.
If you think, well, I'm just going to make it on my next song, in between the songs, you got to put some food in there. You got to put some Bible in there.
Amen.
Singing is going to be good. It'll help you. It'll strengthen you. But the singing goes so far, and that's it. You're going to have some Bible. You're going to have some meat. You're going to have some vegetables. You got to have some milk. If you don't get in this, you're not going to make it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
David encouraged himself in the Lord. And he says, and David said to Abiathar the priest, Abimelech's son, I pray thee bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David. I can see Abiathar saying, what was he going to ask God? We lost everything, and our family's gone. What are you going to ask God now? He had criticism from everybody around him. The 600 men, they wept and they talked about, is all his fault? Man, let's kill him. Let's kill him. They were hurting. Like wounded animals, man. You don't want to go near a wounded animal when it's hurt. And the Bible says, David said to Abiathar the priest, Abimelech's son, I pray they bring hither the ephod. And David brought, Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? You know, David was going to pursue by himself. He says, shall I pursue? He didn't say, shall we? He says, shall I? David was going to do it by himself.
Amen.
And all the men said, if you're gone, we're gone. The Bible says this, and David went, he and the 600 men with him, that were with him, and came to the brook Bezer, where those that were left behind stayed. And David pursued, he and the 400 men and the 200 bow behind, and they were so faint that they could not go over the brook Bezer. And they found the Egyptian in the field, and so on. And the Bible says they ended up taking back everything they lost and more. And God, you know, and look at verse 24. And it says, who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as has his part, is he that goeth down to the battle, so is his part that he that teareth by the stuff. Now, we sent the kids down to North Carolina, and the kids got something from the Lord. And look what he says, they shall part alike. Whatever God does with these young folks, if you prayed for them, if you asked God for them, you ask God to help them, get a hold of their hearts, not only get a hold of their hearts, get a hold of our hearts, you part alike. You part alike. And the Bible says, and it was so that day forward that they made a statute and an ordinance for Israel on this day. And when David came to Ziklag, he sent of the spoil of the elders to Judah, even to his friends, and saying, behold, a present for you for the spoil of the enemies of the Lord. Let's go back to 2 Samuel chapter 1. Go back to 2 Samuel chapter 1. I love this. David... You ever want to find a just man? David was a just man. And God's going to check your character out. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, you can borrow brains, but you can't borrow character. And if you want character, is you say, you're doing the right thing, doing it constant, just doing the right thing. When people know that you're going to do the right thing, I mean, you're building your character. You just do the right thing and building your character up and saying, Lord, I want to do right. So when somebody says, you know, so-and-so, I seen them doing something down there, you'll say, no, wait a minute. I know him. I know her. I know they're going to do what's right. I know they're going to do what's right. So build character. David had character, and David judged righteously and even on himself. And that's one thing you can learn from David when it comes to judging yourself. The Bible says if we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. You need to judge righteously. Judge yourself. I judge myself all the time. Sometimes I'll be walking down the road and I'll think something. I'll say, God, that's wrong. I shouldn't even think like that. I'm sorry. God, forgive me. I talk like that to him. I said, God, that's wrong thinking. I'll go down the road and say, shut up. Shut up. So who are you talking to? Talking to me. Because my minds are working. And boy, your battle's right here. The battle a lot of times ain't with the brethren or the sisters and all that. The battle's right there in your mind.
Yeah.
And you got to fight that battle. Amen. That battle against yourself. Tell yourself, shut up. You're going to do what's right, boy. You're going to do what's right. I'm going to beat you half to death. I'm not telling them to take a baseball bat to yourself, but it's look at this. 2 Samuel chapter 1. And it came to pass after the death of Saul, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites. I want you to see how David judges righteously. And it says, and slaughters of the Amalekites. David had abode 2 days in Ziklag. And it came to pass on the third day, behold, a man came out of the camp from Saul with his clothes rent, and David upon an earth upon his head. And it was so when he had came to David that he fell to the earth and did obeisance. And David said unto him, from whence cometh thou? And he said unto him, out of the camp of Israel I am escaped. Now, if you read back the chapter, you read back chapter 31, and you'll find Saul ends up falling on his own sword. And Saul kills himself. And he asks his arm bearer, he said, I'm wounded. He said, kill me. And he said, no. And he kills himself, and his arm bearer kills himself. So this guy comes into the camp, and he's telling David a lie. He tells David a lie, and David judges him for it. Now, look what it says. And the guy was an Amalekite. Now, you read back chapter 30 of 1 Samuel, David didn't think a lot of the Amalekites, even though they fought on Israel's side, but they ran. They ran. So it came to pass on the third day, behold, a man came out of the camp, out of the camp of Saul with his clothes rent, earth upon his head. It was when he came to David, he fell to the earth and did obeisance. And David said unto him, from whence cometh thou? And he said unto him, out of the camp of Israel am I escaped. And David said unto him, how went the matter? I pray thee, tell me. And he answered, that the people are fled from the battle. Many of the people are fallen from and dead. And Saul and Jonathan, oh man, when he says Jonathan, whoo, his sons are dead also. Jonathan, if it wasn't for Jonathan, David wouldn't be where he's at. If it wasn't for Jonathan protecting him. And Jonathan, there's not a lot said about Jonathan. But when you read the Bible and you read through there how Jonathan, the Bible says, loved David. And he took him under his wing. And you know what that shows me? That, like I said, everybody has somebody we owe that's taken us under the wing and helped us. And we are indebted. We're indebted to people. And what they're showing us, that so that's the same thing we ought to be doing with other folks. And thank God around this church, that's what we try to do. We try to take people under our wing and try to teach them and try to help them. Now look what the Bible says this. And David said unto him, how went the matter? And he said, they're dead. Jonathan, Saul's dead. David said unto the young man that told him, how knowest thou that Saul and Jonathan, his son, is dead, be dead? And the young man that told him said, as I happened by a chance from Gilboa, behold, Saul leaned upon his spear, and lo, the chariots and the horsemen followed hard after him. This guy is trying to get recognition, trying to make himself look big. And when he looked behind him, he saw me and called on me, and I answered and said, here am I. And he said unto me, who art thou? And I answered him, I'm a what? Everybody say it. I'm a what? Amalekite. Amalekites were enemies of God's people. And he says, I'm an Amalekite. As soon as he said that, I know David's senses. He started thinking. And he said unto him again, stand, I pray thee, upon me. He's telling David, Saul tells him, stand upon me and slay me, for anguish has come upon me, because my life is yet whole in me. So I stood upon him and slew him, because I was sure that he could not live after he was fallen. And I took the crown that was upon his head and the bracelet that was on his arm and brought them hither unto my Lord. He was looking for a reward. He was looking for recognition. He thought David was kind of a guy who had malice against Saul. He thought David was the kind of guy, oh, I'm glad Saul's dead. I'm glad Jonathan's dead. He thought wrong. And the Bible says, then David took the hold of his clothes and rent them, and likewise all that men that were with him. When David heard that, he went, oh, God. He ripped his clothes. So, God. Why? Because Saul and Jonathan represented God's people. There was no joy in him. When we hear about God's people hurting, When we hear about God's people going through trials, I talked to a preacher yesterday, going through trials. I talked to two preachers Friday, going through trials. There is no joy. There's no hearing about somebody going through something. There's no joy in that. They're God's people.
That's right. Amen.
We shouldn't joy in those things, even if they're against us.
Right. Amen.
Saul was against David. He was trying to kill him. But there shouldn't be no joy in our lives when we hear about somebody falling or somebody hurting. Even if we don't like them. And we don't like what they've done. But most Christians like the joy in somebody. Say, oh, I knew that was going to happen. You know, we get all pious and thinking that we've arrived. God sees that. God sees the way we act. He checks your heart motive. You need to check your own motives. Lord, why do I get excited? Why am I? And I've had to ask God 100 times, 1,000,000 times, God, forgive me. God, forgive me. Forgive me for thinking that. Forgive me, Lord. And look what David mourns. Look what the Bible says. And they mourned and wept, all 600 men with him, and fasted until the evening for Saul and for Jonathan, his son, and for the people of the Lord. Notice what he says. Look what he says. For the people of the Lord and for the house of the Lord. Because they were fallen by the sword. There should never, ever, ever be joy in our lives over somebody, even if they don't like us and we don't like them. I guess I preach a message called, Does God Like You? And I said, I love everybody. I don't like everybody. But we should never, ever get to that place where we enjoy seeing somebody fall or hearing about somebody falling. Yep. We should always be praying, God, help them. Get up. Get up.
Amen.
Get up. I've called many a guys. There's a guy I went to school with named Billy Delaney. Billy Delaney's an Irishman. I just talked to his brother Friday night. He's a pastor in Alabama. His name is Sammy Delaney. We've had Sammy here. And I was talking to Sammy the other night. I said, how's Billy? Sammy said this. He said, you know, Brother Allen? He said, Billy's doing all right. Billy's been out. He's been bitter at God. He was a, man, you talking about a preacher. That boy was a preacher, man. I'm telling you what, an Irish preacher. One thing will stir you up to hear an Irish preacher really preach. And Billy was a good preacher, and he would preach. He would graduate with me. And Billy got out because he got mad at God. He got bitter. And he got bitter at the brethren. He got bitter at everybody and all that stuff. He got out. And, you know, Sammy told me, he said, you know, Brother Allen, he's been 10, 15 years or more. He said, you know, for him to get back in, it ain't going to be the same. He says, never the same. When you get out and you try to get back in and to get back to the place where you were, he says, never the same. I have a preacher friend of mine that was one of my best, I mean, my favorite preacher. His name was John Mitchell. And John Mitchell was a great preacher. I'm telling you what, that guy was from Georgia. And you talking about, brother, you talking about preaching. That dude, he would shell the corn. And that dude was, I love John Mitchell. And John Mitchell got backslid, got out, quit the ministry. And another guy, I called this church the other day. I told my wife, I said, look at this. I pulled one of my Bibles. I'll get to John Mitchell in a minute. I opened one of my Bibles, and I had a flyer from 1997. And it was a revival service, 1997, I saved. I don't know why I saved it. And the other day I looked at it, and it was from Danny Chappell's camp meeting. And it had Jack Woods. It had Lenny Hasbrook. It had, you know, all these different preachers there. And named all the singers and all that stuff, sound doctrine, all that. And I was telling Brother Sammy the other night about it. He goes, Brother Allen, I was there. I was at that meeting. John Mitchell took a church, and Tim Green told me this. Tim Green said he was there, preached a revival for John Mitchell. He said, John Mitchell, what happened with John Mitchell? He said he fell in love with his secretary. He said he fell in love with her. He said he was sitting in his office, and he had a big church, about, you know, 700-800 people. And he said he had a beautiful office, had a secretary outside of his office like you see, you know, in corporate headquarters, you know, secretaries outside the CEO's office. said John Mitchell and Tim Green was sitting in the office, and John Mitchell said, Brother Tim, have you met my secretary? And he pushed a button, and she walked in. She said, yes, sir. And Tim Green said he sat there and stared at her. He went, oh, my. And she went out of the room. He said, good to meet you and all. So he said to John Mitchell, he said, what, are you crazy? He said, what are you talking about? See, John Mitchell's wife was always sick. She was always sick. She was overweight, going through all kinds of troubles and everything. And he said, this woman came in. He said, she was knocked down, you know, beautiful. He said, I've never seen a woman so beautiful. And he looked at John Mitchell and said, what in the world's the matter with you, man? You crazy? You hired her? He goes, oh, yeah, ain't nothing. But what happened with John Mitchell? He fell in love with her in his heart. Every time he got up to preach, he felt like a hypocrite. He's tried to get back into ministry. It ain't the same.
That's right.
When you get out, it's never the same. That's why you got to make up your mind. I'm not getting out. I'm not quitting. Look at this. 2 Samuel, chapter 1. It says, and David mourned, verse 12, and wept, and fasted until the evening. David didn't do anything until he fasted, prayed for Saul, for Jonathan, his son, for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel, because they had fallen by the sword. You know what we ought to be concerned about? We ought to be concerned about one another, praying for one another. We ought to be concerned about God's house and God's testimony and about the people, what the people perceive this place as. We ought to be concerned about that. Why? Because lost people going to hell, if they won't come here because of something we've done or somebody's done or somebody said, it's going to hurt God's work. That's why you got to be careful what you do.
Amen.
Our kids got to be careful where they go.
Yes, sir. Right.
When you name the name of Christ, brother, I tell you what, you've taken on. You've got more than just you behind. You got the church. You got the church people. You got the Lord God. You're carrying all that with you.
Yes,
and people take it lightly. Like, who cares? I'm not hurting nobody but me. That's a lie. Especially when you tell people, I go to Faith Baptist Church. You don't know how many times I've talked to people and I said, are you saved? They said, where's your church at? I said, Faith Baptist Church right down 300. Does so-and-so go to your church?
Yeah.
I go, oh, God. Really, that's the first thing I think.
Yeah.
I go, oh, God. I start praying. It's a blessing to get a good report.
Yeah.
But I've got some bad reports, man.
Right.
I've got some reports of people doing drugs. Lord woke me up when we had Rob and Ashley out here. We put the trailer out here, and we brought them back. I'm always trying to help people. I want to help people. I want to see them get on their feet. And if they make a mistake, get back up. Okay, let's get up and do it again. Let's do it, but this time, no playing around. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's get it right. Rob and Ashley came back here. I put the trailer out there to try to help them. Lord woke me up twice, man, in the middle of the night. Woke me up. And told me, so I called them in my office. I said, they were living over. I didn't tell the church about it. I said, hey, guys, Lord woke me up. You're doing drugs again, ain't you? And they went, no, we're not doing it. I said, every time God wakes me up, it's always right on the money. And I said, you're doing it. I know you are. And finally, one Monday morning, I got a call from out in Missouri. A boy that was here in Smyrna, he went back out to Missouri, and I've been trying to get him back in church. And he went out to Missouri, and Brother McNamara calls me up. He said, Brother Allen, he called me at 7 o'clock, 6:30 in the morning. He said, Brother Allen, I got to tell you, Rob and Ashley are back to it. They're back doing drugs. They're living on church property, and they're dealing right out of the church property. And people knew it. And like I said, the Lord woke me up twice. I went to the door that morning, knocking on the door. I didn't throw them to the street. I went up and got a motel room up here in Smyrna. Got 8 days, put them in. Rob was making $15 an hour. I said, y'all, I'm sorry, guys. You got to go. I can't keep you here. I've given you chance after chance. Rob was so mad. Rob was so mad at me, he wouldn't even talk to me. I was carrying their stuff out. I said, I'm sorry. I told Ashley, if you're ever going to get your children back, you got to get away from him. And I pointed right to him. I said, you got to get away from him. Just recently, Rob's called me up from Salisbury, crying on the phone and said, Preacher, I'm sorry. Forgive me, will you? I said, I forgive you, Rob. I love you, boy. He said, I'm not doing no drugs, preacher. I promise. I ain't doing nothing. That's worth a lot to me.
Amen.
We stuck our neck out.
Yep.
Anyway, let's get back to this. I'm not even going to get to where I want to get. Bible says, and David said unto him, look at verse 13. David said unto the young man, and that told him, whence art thou? And he answered, I'm the son of a stranger, Amalekite. This is after David had mourned and wept, fasted until the evening. And David said unto him, how was that thou not afraid to stretch forth thine hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? In front of all these men, David brings this guy, and this guy thinking he's going to get this reward from David for bringing him the crown and bringing him the bracelet and telling him this report that he did the job. He killed Saul. And David said, how was it that you're not afraid to kill the Lord's anointed?
Amen.
I told you, David's a just man, a wise man. And David called one of the young men and said, go near, fall upon him. And he smote him that he died.
Amen. Call a young man.
Yeah.
Young men.
Yeah. And David said unto him, thy blood be upon thy head. For thy mouth hath testified against thee, saying, I have slain the Lord's anointed. And look what I wanted to get to this. Verse 17. And David lamented with his lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan his son. David starts mourning and saying things, and they wrote it down. Verse 18. And he bade many teach the children of Judah the use of the bow. I believe it's a song. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher, the beauty of Israel is slain upon thy high places. How are the mighty fallen? There's a message in that. How are the mighty fallen? He says, tell it not in Gath. Publish it not in the streets of Ashkelon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. The Philistines rejoiced over Saul dying. All the enemies of God rejoiced over Saul dying. When Saul was the first king, and he reigned 40 years. Think about this. When David comes along, Saul had already been reigning almost 30 years. Because Jonathan had to be in his 20s. When David comes along, David's just a youth. He's like 16, 17 years old. And God tells David, I'm going to remove Saul. You're going to be king. And look what the Bible says. This is David saying it. It says, ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offering, for there the shields of the mighty is violently cast away. The shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. For the blood of the slain from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back. And the sword of Saul returned not empty. Saul and Jonathan were lovely. Woo! Get me weeping over that. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives. In their death, they were not divided. They had one goal, is defend Israel. Defend God's people. And they were willing to die for it. It says, Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives. In their death, they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet and with other delights, who put on ornaments of gold upon your apparels. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of battle? O Jonathan, thou was slain in thine high places. See, Jonathan was next in line to be king. And whenever they sat at the table of Saul, Saul sat at the head of the table. Jonathan sat on his right side. David sat here. Jonathan was heir to the throne. And at one point, I wanted to show you, we ain't going to get to it tonight, but Jonathan even said to David, I know you're going to be king. He was willing to give his throne to David because he knew God was on him. And that's what God wanted. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan, thou was slain in thy high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful. Now look what it says. I underlined this in my Bible. Passing the love of women. It wasn't no homosexual gay love.
Right.
It was a love, a man for another man that loved God. And they loved each other like brothers. How are the mighty fallen? The weapons of war perish. And it came to pass, chapter 2, after this, that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up into the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, go up. And David, whither shall I go up? And he said, on the Hebron. If you know your Bible, there were six cities of refuge. Hebron was one of them. So what is the city of refuge? Where they went inside the gates, the elders, they had to go to the gate, and the elders would come up top of the gate and of a wall, and they said, what's your business here? And when David rode up with the six mighty, mighty men, said, God has told me to come here. They opened the gate, and he was protected. And the Bible says all Israel came out to make David their king. And so, anyway, we'll get into that next time. Lord willing, we'll get into that. But I wanted to go into the life of Jonathan, but we ain't going to have time, all right? We'll stop right there, because I'm looking at time. We ain't going to be able to do it. But I tell you what, when I read this stuff, it just tears me up and gets me. And they're soldiers. They were mighty men. They were men that didn't have quit in them. You can't have quit in your life. You see people always talking about, I'll just quit. I'll just quit. You can't have quit in your life. You got to say, Lord, by your strength, I'm able. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I can do it through his power. And that's what you got to do. And boy, I tell you what, David's a good example of character. Jonathan was a good example of character. And I wanted to go through some of the passages where David and Jonathan were together. And after David slew Saul, the Bible says Jonathan took him in, took him with him like his little brother, and took him together. But it always has, always will be, somebody helped us. Somebody took time. Somebody spent hours and hours upon hours, maybe days upon days, to help us. David would never made it. He would have never been to the place where he would have been king of Israel if God didn't put Jonathan in his life. What you do is, John Garner got saved, and John Garner said this. He said he prayed that God would give him a friend that would get strong together. They would be strong together and serve God together. And I got saved, and John and I started hanging out together, and we started witnessing together. And we started doing things together. We just, everything. I went in the military. I had to go in the military. And when I was in the military, I'd call home, and John was at my house. And Linda was there. And I trusted John. I trusted John being around my wife. It was my girlfriend at the time. We weren't married then. But it was a guy named Angelo there. And as soon as John said, hey, guess who's here? I said, who's that? He said, Angelo. I said, get him out of my house. And John said, what? Angelo got saved. I said, get him out of my house. I didn't trust Angelo as far as I could throw him. And Angelo and I, every time we got together, we would fight before we were saved. And we would fight every time. Angelo was older than me, but every time I seen him, it was just on. And Angelo got saved. And when I got home, Angelo was more like this all the time. He was always like this, always doing something. I could tell you some stories about that, but we won't get into that. Father, we thank you, God, tonight for your word. Thank you, God, that Lord, I pray, God, help us to have some mighty men.